Welcome on into The Point After, folks. Steve Geller along with Bobby Hebert here after the black and gold end up falling in preseason play to the Jaguars 24-20 in the opener in the Caesars Superdome. Things started out with a bang, Bobby, and then kind of ended up with a little pow.
Well, I said this at halftime. Man, everyone was fired up. You're probably high-fiving if you're in that number at the game or you're watching at your house, whatever. You're ecstatic. I mean, you can't get off to a greater start. And, in the offseason, the Saints been promoting the 60th season, the 60 years of New Orleans Saints football. We all know when the organization kicked off the franchise, how important a kick return is. We're going against the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams. John Gilliam takes it to the house. So I was like, come on, go, Ty, go. Ty Chandler goes 86 yards. Unbelievable kickoff return to set the tone. And then one-play drives. Who doesn't love one-play drives if you get a touchdown? Look at Audrey Gastineau. Man, I'm kind of mad at Spencer Rattler setting up Gastineau on that injury. Come on, dude. You don't set him up, throw the ball like that.
Broke a bunch of tackles to get out on that score,
well, yeah,
too.
Well, I know I started getting off of that. But
focus.
Yeah, that first play broke three tackles, 9-yard touchdown run. Then later, when he got hurt. No, that's
significant.
Yeah, and that was the quarterback's fault when he got hurt. So I'm just saying you can't set him up like that. But, I mean, he got off. Look at Jalen Forte. Looked like DeMario Davis or Jonathan Vilma or the Dome Patrol. I mean, he comes up with an interception. In that first drive, he had four tackles and a pick. He ended up with six total tackles. He's someone that's going to provide depth on the back end as far as how we count on him. He had seven total tackles, a quarterback hurry, like I said, interception, pass defended, an assistant tackle on special teams. He's one of those, like Stallbird, they provide depth, but they're making the team because what they're going to do on special teams when all said and done. We've had trouble, I've said this, by scoring in the first quarter. I don't care if it's preseason or regular season. Well, the best first quarter for sure under Coach Kellen Moore, preseason or not. How are we setting the tone? And really, it was a tale of two halves. And it's like that. I can remember one time in the Superdome, we were beating the Pittsburgh Steelers 28-0 at half, and we lost like 30-something to 28. So you never know who's playing, who's in the game. So definitely a tale of two halves. Saints first half, Jags second half. Even though we were fighting, we fought back. They end up tying possession, having the ball a little more than 10 minutes than us. Because look at the rushing attempts. They had 36, we had 16. And that's why you look at the tying possession. I think it's probably that third quarter. They wasn't running on us in the first half. When you look at that, and so
it's a long first half. It felt like
yes, exactly. And different phases were flying by. The one thing was, I know it doesn't count, and who's playing and all that, but it was the same song and dance like last year on third down.
Right.
Defensively outstanding. And you might say, well, Bobby, it's preseason. No, but we did this in the whole regular season. Brandon Staley's defense last year, they were 5 of 15, 33%. Last year, we only gave up 34.3%. So basically, our defense, third down defense, the scheme, what we're doing, is still kicking ass. Now, offensively, we don't have to be like Drew Brees and be like 58.5%. I remember one year we were rolling. We led the NFL, I'll never forget. We were 48.5%. I thought, like, man, we clicking on third down. Well, last year as a team, we were 39.5%, not good enough. Today we were 31%. So, that has to get better because then the ebb and flow of a game, you dictating the tempo. When I look at the red zone, we got that takeaway, and that's important. Bend and not break, I said. As the season progresses, a team can be having success against you, but if you can come up with a big stop, force a field goal, or take the football away, that's monumental when you look. If you do that, even though a team is having success maybe moving the ball but not converting in the red zone, that's pretty good. I'd rather they would have been 1 of 5, but they were 2 of 5, 40%. We were 2 of 4, 50%. We could have been, if we scored the end, 3 of 4. But that didn't occur. Outstanding, stopping the run overall. Again, look, who's playing and not playing. They only average 3.3 yards an attempt. We give up only 3.3 yards an attempt. We'll have a top five rush defense, I guarantee you. We'll be amongst the best. Now, we had only 16 attempts. But we only average 3.5 yards. But again, our top two running backs aren't playing. You have to look at who's actually in the game. Now,
you look at, too, though, Estime and what Chandler did. We're pretty decent compared, obviously, Donaldson's 4 carries, 0 yards brings that average down.
Because you look at Estime, yes, 5.6 yards a carry. Chandler, 4.0. No, that's winning football. When you look at it, that's what brought it down with T.J. Donaldson. But he never really got a chance to get started. Seems like he was...
it was like, whap, they were getting penetration.
Yeah, hit before he could get going. When you have 4 attempts and you have 0 yards, that's never good. Considering he's a big back who I thought maybe we could utilize on short yardage and third down, but that was not the case today. Now, we can never afford, special teams. That has to be a strength, or we have to make it a strength and not be in the bottom 4 in the league. I'm not saying we got to be in the top 5, but it can't be a liability. Look, I think we got an awesome punter. But we paid him that he never can shank a punt. He is that good. From Tulane, played with the Vikings. We rewarded him handsomely to beat a punter.
Let's hope he got out the way this preseason game and that's it.
Yeah, you can't have a 15-yard punt.
No.
That's
like me punting.
Yeah, it's not like you're in high school, oh, he shanked it, whatever. No, you got to be like a machine. And the reason why I say that, because look at the outcome of the game, 24-20. Okay, what happened when he shanked that punt?
They went 4 plays, negative 4 yards.
Negative 4 yards.
But they got the field goal.
But they got 3 points with Little. And it was like a 50-some yard field goal he ends up making. Okay, so that's 3 points right there.
Give it to him.
And then we missed the 52-yarder with Charles Smith. So you heard me say this in training camp, that I think where the Saints are at right now, if we have a chance, we got to make our kicks. Simple as that. Whether we can't be perfect, but we're almost going to have to, I think, at times. Because think about the pressure where you're at. Okay, we're losing 24-20. What if it's 24-23? All we have to do is kick a field goal at the end to win the game. Then it comes down to, I'm telling you, the parity. And what it's going to take to win the NFC South? I don't know, 9, 10 games. You think that for sure would have to be around there, not a losing season, 8-9. You never know. You would take it if you win the division. Look at Carolina, how they won. I don't think Carolina. I guess they feel a little bit good about themselves, but we beat them twice.
Backed into it, so
yeah. So and we beat them twice. So
right.
The point being that. Whether you're in the hunt or not could be whether you made that game-winning kick or not, or some field goal during the game that dictated like the point spread or the opportunities at the latter part of the game to win the game, whether you have 9 wins or 6 wins. So that's why that has to be addressed. Now, we end up being +1 in the turnover margin. Now, that is significant, that I say, because the Jaguars – they are a team, how they got to the playoffs and won. They took away the football and they protected it. They were +13, which is third best in the NFL. Well, we ended up beating them. We were +1, and we were -4 last year in the season. So that's a positive, Kellen Morgan tell the team. Look, we've taken away the football. Overall, you always want to be on that plus side in the turnover margin when all said and done. Now, I thought Bub Means... ever since Bub Means has been on the team from University of Pittsburgh, he was always like a prospect that when you look at Bub Means, it was like, one, that when he's available and he was healthy, you would constantly see Bub Means make plays. Then he was snake bitten and he ends up getting hurt. But that was someone, when we got him, when did we draft Bub Means? Like 5th round. He was a 5th round pick.
Right, in 24.
In 24. So he had an outstanding game today, but it could have been even better. because I look at the targets and number of catches. And what is his average? 19.3. That's, man, that's about as good as it gets in the NFL. When you look at that, he had that long gain of 37, 77 yards. But, you know, if you're truly striving for perfection and wanting to be a pro, Bum means to say, no, I could have did a whole lot better. He could have been 5 targets, 5 catches, almost 100 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. I don't know. The footwork at the end to get an end zone, Oscar Delft ended up getting that touchdown. But there was also the ball that was right there. He kind of short-armed it. He could have caught that touchdown in the seam. And that was the one miss he had. Now, Zach Wilson could have threw it better. But I'm just saying, make the outstanding play that's going to catch the coach's attention. Now, Barry Brown, the first time he returned punt, not so much.
Can't go backwards.
It was like minus 7 yards. And we all know how explosive he can be.
He was trying to do too much.
Yeah. Well, but he ended up as a receiver.
Right.
4 targets, 4 catches, 53 yards. He had a long gain of 28. Now, I thought Zach Wilson, you could see the talent that's there. Put it this way. Zach Wilson, I don't know what you pay in a quarterback. I'm just talking about ability. Let's say quarterbacks around the world. You know, New York people say, oh, Zach Wilson, he sucks. He's terrible. If you look at, there's 32 teams, okay? So let's say each team, in theory, just keeps 64 quarterbacks. There's no way in hell that Zach Wilson is not in the top 64 in professional NFL football. I can just see how he spends it. There's a reason why he's the number 2 overall pick. He's still, like Kellen Moore said, relatively young. I think, you know, you could tell that he's played before. I mean, look, he was 11 of 16, 145 yards, a touchdown, quarterback rating of 118. I thought Spencer, when he fumbled in the pocket, he has to get, you got to get rid of the ball.
Holding it too long,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, just simple stuff like that. I'm not saying that Zach Wilson is going to beat out Spencer Rattler or anything like that, but, you know, whatever you've done for me lately, you're always looking at that and opportunities that comes about. But I thought if we look at, like, going to special teams now, Ty Chandler, okay, more you could do, running back depth, he's kind of a poor man. Alvin Kamara, I think, at when you look at him as far as the running back depth. Now, it'd be interesting to see the injury to Andre Gestime, where he's at. That one kickoff return was outstanding. He looked very fluid how he was cutting. I would say because based on, again, what have you done for him lately, what happened today, that Tanner Brown, it's like a horse race. You know, it's going back and forth. Down the stretch they come. And, you know, it's a photo finish or whatever. He won by a half a length or 2 lengths, whatever. Tanner Brown has taken the lead on Charlie Smith, simply because of the circumstance. When Charlie Smith, okay, Bobby, he missed a 52-yarder, but that kick didn't have a chance.
Badly missed.
It was wide right. It wasn't like,
right.
It was going in. No, so it does count, and the coaches look at this, how you missed the kick. You know, it was like, how are you going to make that adjustment? No, that was not a 52-yard kick, and he has the leg strength that had a chance to be made. So when you see those type of things, you know, you got everything, you grade everything, and what comes about, I'd say Tanner Brown, the UFLer, is definitely in the lead after one preseason game. Now they're going to go, I don't know what's going to happen in California, go against the Rams, and they're going to go against Dallas, and still a lot of kicking to do to see eventually, you know, that what's going to come about. Now to look at the defense, And I like who you gave the game ball to. Before I get to him, I want to talk about Ford. Now, Dallas Beanham led the team in tackles. I think he was getting picked on a lot. He ended up having 11 total tackles, 6 unassisted. Looking at Jalen Ford, he ended up having 7 total tackles. But he had 6 before you know it, 4 on that first drive. A quarterback hurry, interception, pass defending, a special teams tackle. But Hellman, if you look at Michael Hellman, okay, Steve, I was talking
about that stat sheet.
I was talking about him
in the pregame.
Because in practice, number 63, I'd be like, you know, taking notes, watching who's being disruptive. Who's like causing chaos in the backfield? I go, who's that 63? Well, that was Michael Heldman, the undrafted defensive end out of Central Michigan. I guarantee all the other NFL teams are going to watch this and know this. And say, oh, can we slip him through the practice squad and all? You never know. But if he catches your attention and he's making plays in a game, that's what you want to do in last. And I thought this was interesting. That you look at Michael Heldman, the undrafted defensive end out of Central Michigan, reminds me of like Simpkins last year, the undrafted offensive lineman who made the Saints team from South Carolina. You know, when you look, so you can always have somebody like that that comes out of nowhere. But you look at it up, 6'3", he's the team's shortest edge rusher. He looks like a football player to me. If you look at him, he was a Mac. Now, this is from, so Bob, where do you get that from? Okay, this is from The Athletic's Dane Brugler.
Yeah, he's their NFL draft expert.
Okay, Dane Brugler, The Athletic's Dane Brugler, wrote before the draft that Heldman was like the MAC conference local level version of Joey Bosa.
We like that.
Joey Bosa. So, poor man Joey Bosa? Okay, now remember the connection. Which could explain the Saints' interest in him as defensive coordinator Brandon Staley coached Bosa with the Chargers. And look at a breakout season. He had 10.5 sacks last season. And he's very mature, fifth-year senior last fall. So Michael Heldman, 6 total tackles, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hurries, 3 tackles for a loss. Now, I know in my notes I think he had a special teams kickoff coverage tackle. And then looking at the official stats, I mean, I know that was him, and number 63. I don't know if that'll be corrected, but I was like, look, and he's even contributing on special teams.
I'll definitely keep refreshing our stats to see if it ends up popping up.
Yeah, because I remember, I'm not going to write something just to be writing it. And then, so you go on, and then who's the other guy, my favorite? Because this would be, because if you've seen him walking on the street, you go, you wouldn't say, that's an NFL player. You know, a lot of youngsters could say, man, why not me? Now, you got to be fast and quick like Jaden Price, you know. But if you walk by him, Jaden Price is not a big guy. But his quickness, his footwork, everything he can do. Talk about a success story. From Kansas, he goes to North Dakota State. You know, we talked to him, a UFL guy, a UFL standout, you know, Birmingham Stallions. Arlington Renegades. He's on the Saints practice squad all last year, but he keeps working his behind off.
Tough, aggressive kid.
I guarantee if the Saints cut him, he's making another NFL team. They ain't about to keep him on no practice squad. He's been that too good. He's the guy backing up Jonas Sanker at the star.
Exactly.
On the slot. And what I've seen in practice, I don't know, he has the most passes defended. Now, you want him to have more interceptions. Guess what? He finally got an interception today. See how he sloughed back and he got that interception instincts? He ended up with an interception, couple of pass defended. He also had an unassisted tackle on special teams. So when I look at Price and where he's at right now, he's with the second unit, playing that star position on the inside. You know, because you never know. If something happens to Sanker and he gets hurt, you're in the game. You know, we got a count on you. I can tell you, though, right now, if we play in the Lions or the Ravens and he'd ever be in there, and I've done this before, they pick it on the little white boy. I'm just telling you right now, because you don't see too many cover Caucasians in the back end. You just don't. You can go like Jason Sehorn. You can go like Scott Case, who I played with the Eagles right now, who they were attacking him. Steve, the guy... with the Eagles, the white guy, the defensive back.
Oh,
come on, that's your team.
I know. I'm drawing a blank here right now.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank too. Charlie's gonna help us.
DeGene, Cooper DeGene.
Cooper DeGene. Look, he even had an interception
in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, and Bob, what do you know about that? No, I remember Charles Demery. I'm playing against Atlanta. He's from UNLV, And I knew they were coming after me. And whoever he was guarding man-to-man, I knew I was going to complete the pass. I might get hit, but I'm going to complete it. I end up throwing like 8 touchdowns against him. So you will be tested, that being the point if Price has to go in the game. But he's had several pass breakups in practice. Look, at today he had 2 in the game with the interception. So you look at that. And you know what? He's also had breakups. And this is hard to do because this is an offensive drill. And the offense should win 80% plus when they go one-on-one.
Right.
The receiver knows where he's going. And then you're on an island as a cover guy. You have no help. And he's had the most pass breakups in that drill. And it's an offensive drill. So I talk about a diamond in the rough that is truly just taking advantage. It looks like he loves football. You can argue, but he's truly in the conversation that who's really stood out and you're constantly taking notes on. So guess what? Not only in practice, but shows up in the game, Heldman and Price. Because, the guys we are counting on mainly, they're in street clothes. And they're not dressed up playing. So you have to look at, okay, who can maybe be on the back end of our roster and help us win? Well, that's 2 guys. See what they could do against the Rams in Dallas. But a great first showing in Heldman and Jane Price in a game where they actually tackle. Not like, oh, I would have got him down. They just go pat him on the butt or run by him. No, you got to tackle. And so good for them because that's how you make the team. And it's on film. The big eye in the sky don't lie. And that's how you impress the coaches and the whole league.
We're going to take a break here on the point after. You can chime in with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. It's 504-260-1870. We'll be back with more right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the point after. You can sound off here with the Cajun Cannon on our talking text line, 504-260-1870. We want to go right away to a Cajun Cannon. We got Eon in Pennsylvania recapping this matchup. Eon, what you got for this evening?
Bobby and Steve, it is so good to hear from you. Lots of good stuff. The fast start was very happily unexpected. I am very much into patterns, and I have a question for both of you. A couple of patterns I saw, or a few of them in today's game, I understand it's preseason, but I'm curious which ones you would be most concerned about.
Okay.
The first one is the untimely penalties. That seems like it's been a pattern.
That's terrible. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead.
Okay, no, number 2 is the field position. Which I think is a really big part of the game. Not necessarily the special teams, but just in general, like field position.
Without a doubt.
Long drives. Long drives that, today especially in the second half. And then ongoing injuries. I'm just curious, both of you, which one you think of those is the most concerning, or is it something else?
Okay, Steve, help me out if I forget. But, thanks, Eon.
Yeah.
So penalties. No, you remember right at the beginning, I said, well, we're halfway there. You've heard me preach this before. You can't
10
have
penalties or 100 yards.
No, 9 penalties,
okay,
or,
9.
Or more, or 100 yards, like giving up a touchdown. We both, it's like preseason, we both had 8 penalties. But where we were at one time, we were at 5. And I said, that's not good. Now, it's preseason, so you look at penalties, okay, who's committing the penalties? But no, that's a big thing. When you're talking about like field position, it's hard to have 85, 90-yard drives. So that's why the hidden yardage, flipping the field, how are you punting the ball, how are you returning the ball. That's why there's a couple of times on punt return, man, you're trying to make the team as a punt returner? You can't be calling fair catch. You got to be more dangerous. Come on. You got to catch the coach's attention. And I'm not talking about taking it to the house. You feel the punt. This is kind of like Clarence Vernon or Dion. Old school, they tell me, no, I gotta make a play. And what I mean by making a play, remember I told you if you average 14 yards a punt return, you're like a pro bowler, if not all pro. Or you're going to be in the top 3. Well, that's one less first down and a half you have to make to be more aggressive returning punts. And because a lot of people can hand-eye coordination, can catch a punt. You know how they always throw the jug machine with the fans out there and they're fighting. But who was the famous one? It was Gil Bird's son. Remember Jarius Bird?
Oh, yeah.
And Sean Payton said, okay, he got so mad at one time because I guess we weren't fielding the punch cleanly. He said, Jerry, just go back there and call a fair catch every time. Well, no, that has to be a weapon. So you have to have a punt returner back there. I'm going to field the punt, and I'm getting double-digit yards. You know, and that's one less first down you got to get in scoring range. So all those little things. So when Eon's talking about, like, hidden yardage, where are you starting your drive? Most NFL defenses would bank on, I don't care if you, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and all that, that if you're going 85 to 90 yards, now you could do it, to get, not necessarily kick a field goal, but to get a touchdown, they're going to bank on that way. If it's a double-digit drive, you're going to make a mistake. Or somebody's going to make a mistake, and you're going to stop. Where versus, I got the ball at midfield, or I only got to get one first down that I could kick a 60-yard field goal. They're kicking little. Last year, he made a 68-yard field goal. So that's where you look at that hidden yardage and field position definitely comes into play if you're controlling the tempo of the game and the percentages as far as actually having touchdown scoring drives. Where do you start from?
Yeah, the penalties and injuries might be at the top of my list.
Yeah, and injuries, you have to have luck with injuries. And you know, everyone, the coaches, you know, the cliche are, there's a bunch of BS. Oh, next man up. No, I guarantee you the next tackle up behind Laremy Tunsil, with the Washington Commanders, he's the highest paid tackle. He's dominant. He always wins. He tore his bicep.
Yeah.
The next man up can't hold his jock. I mean,
but just right now with the running back room, I'm concerned the fact that we might have to go looking about who's available because
right. With
Audric Estime now hurt, we know Devin Neal's been nursing an injury, and Kendre Miller's also banged up.
Well, it's just a practice against the Rams and Dallas.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
Cam Akers might be getting that call again.
Yeah, you got to have luck with injuries. And sometimes when you have injuries at a position, you kind of get snake bit and it snowballs.
Don't want that to happen.
You remember the one season, and we had a better record. We were playing at Seattle. You remember we were on our eighth running back? I think that might have been the beast mode game. I don't know who that nation will call and tell me. We were like on our eighth running back in that playoff game against Seattle. I think that was the beast mode game. And I want to say Hasselbeck was the quarterback. They had like a losing record, and they beat us. And the Saints, we had won for sure, I think like three or four games more than Seattle, but we had to go up there because they won their division at that time. And but, yeah, we were like on our eighth running back. That's what you want to avoid in any position, that just you snake bit at a certain position.
Appreciate the call, Eon. You can chime in as well on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. More on The Point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network right after this. What's up, Hoodats? Welcome back into The Point after. Steve Geller along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, bringing till 9 p.m. this evening. You can sound off on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Bobby, we got Dirk in Houston on the line about talking about a concerning injury, one that we're both bothered by. Dirk, what you got for us tonight?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Appreciate you.
Look, it's been a successful week. You know, I'm retired. I got to listen to the joint practice on the Saints app on Thursday. But I'm watching today's game, and after Estime's fourth carry, he had 23 yards, and the Saints offense had 8, thanks to 2 Rattler sacks. And I'm burning up the text line with a son who lives here in Houston as well, going, okay, seen enough. Time for him to get out. Time to get him out. Get him out. Get him out. Then he had a 5th carry. We're burning it up again. Then he had the catch. I don't understand why this guy was in the game, because if he's not our number 3 back, I'll run through Bourbon Street naked. I mean, he has had the best camp of anyone not named Kamara, you know.
Right.
I mean, why was he even in the game?
Well, they only had 3 active running backs.
Yeah. You know, you can thank for that, Dirk, is that, I don't know, I can't measure their heart, Kendre Miller and now Devin Neal. I don't know quite enough about Devin Neal. But I don't know what he was pass protected one drill. Oh, my back.
That was Kendre Miller, yeah.
And then you got the hamstring with Devin Neal. So here's young guys you're counting on. I mean, don't your running backs have to be tough? I'm not saying they're not hurt or they're not tough, but, I mean, you have to be available. And the one thing with Estime, he hasn't missed a practice. He's always available.
It was just him, Ty Chandler, and C.J. Donaldson available at running back for this matchup.
Yeah, so it was almost like we had to play. Maybe you could have put C.J. Donaldson in sooner, and then Ty. That could have been the 1-2 punch, considering how Ty Chandler can make plays to get outside and all that. But I'm an RJ Estime fan. What he's done. And Saints fans, remember, again, this is kind of what have you done for me lately, that you might say, well, because he's been practicing all the time. Yeah, definitely in the early lead as the third running back, just because we could count on him. And you look last season. Okay, what's happening in the latter part of the season? The Saints aren't going to the playoffs. But look how we were able to win games.
He was a workhorse.
And a workhorse that they were counting on. Well, we won 4 of our last 5 games.
Correct.
Well, you look at Estime. During last season's stretch run, he had right at 200 yards in 7 games now. But he had that impressive game. He's playing for his NFL life. Right on the 100 yards, 94 yards in week 17 against the Titans. So and he's shown enough in the passing game as a receiver where he had 12 passes, 103 yards. But I don't know, Dirk, didn't you think, come on, Spencer Rattler, you've played enough. You can't be setting up the running back like that. That was a kill shot. And like Charlie would say, Charlie Long, I was talking about, that's a hospital shot. What are you doing? I tell you what, I don't know if that on this level, but that's when you're behind the scenes in the locker room. Like, man, why in the hell you threw that ball right there? You setting me up. Throw that away or something. That's and just look, when you look on the replay, of that pass play, Estime had no chance.
It was cringe when you're seeing it.
Yeah, and NFL defenders, they're going to come up and make you pay for that. So,
for sure.
I'd feel bad if I was Spencer Rattler setting up Estime that way.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear any more reports on what the injury is. And, you know, you're definitely praying for the best for Estime and the Saints at this point. Appreciate the call, Dirk. We're going to take a break here on The Point After. You can chime in with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with even more of The Point After right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back here on The Point After. The Saints falling to the Jacksonville Jaguars 24-20 inside the Caesars Superdome. Next action will be a week from today, taking on the L.A. Rams. Looking at some the action going on currently right now, the Baltimore Ravens have a 10-0 lead over the Philadelphia Eagles. And the other game that's going on, the Seattle Seahawks currently lead the Dallas Cowboys 7-3.
Well, I know it's preseason and regular season. When I play chopped liver, whether the games count or not, I look at we're going to L.A. We go practice against L.A. and play against them. Now, I'd be intrigued with the practice, because that's the team they're going with as far as the reps versus the preseason game. I hate to say this, but I think Dallas, I like Dak Prescott, how he's developed as a quarterback, and their offense is there, but I think their defense will finally live up to some expectations, but they're not going to be a liability. You have to look at the odds them as far as being a playoff team. You know, like you're always looking for what would be good value or whatever. So that's who we're going to be measured against. Then you got to go at – the reason why it came to mind, because you mentioned the Ravens. And we got to go at Detroit. They have some people when I say some people, you know, when you kind of say, okay, what's going to happen?
Analysts and odds makers, too.
Yeah, picking the lines
right
to go from worst to first. And some people, we're right behind the lines of Vegas to go from worst to first in the NFC South. So, but looking at the lines.
As you like to say with them, you know you got to pack a lunch.
Yeah. And you better stop the run. And Jerry Goff is experienced. You got to play the Lions, then you got to go at Baltimore. So
two trench games right there.
So it's going to be a challenge in the trenches. The next two preseason games and then the two regular season games before they come to town against the Raiders. So That's definitely good measuring sticks to see where we're at. But you know what we got to do? And this is winning football. If I looked in the first half, what we did as a defense, Brandon Staley defense. You know, I love me some Brandon Staley. I think he might do too good that we, you know, six, seven, eight coaches, nine coaches get fired every year. And I think training that Brandon Staley is going to have the Saints, again, top 10 defense. And he'll get another opportunity to be a head coach. You know, like Vic Fangio, Wade Phillips, you know, even Dennis Allen. But I look at Brandon Staley. I think he is that good of a coach. Kellen Moore knows that. And how the defense is going to keep us in games. I truly believe that and be opportunistic. If you look how we're setting the tone, and this is like still a couple of minutes left in the second quarter. We already had four tackles for loss, three sacks, and two interceptions. So you don't make it plays. So that's something I think that we'll have to do and continue. I think this year we will take away the football more. I'm not saying we're going to have Chase Young type plays, which we always would welcome that. That's, to me, what Chase Young did last year when he sacked the quarterback, caused a fumble, and then took off with the ball and scored a touchdown. That's like the defensive version in Saints history of Robert Meacham.
Yeah.
You remember Drew throws the interception, and you think, oh, negative play. Oh, and then
not so fast.
And then Drew's going to cover the interception, and then Robert Meacham takes it from him and goes and scores. And I want to say, look at that game, how we won. We made a kick at the end or something. We came back. We were losing. But, yeah, breaks going your way. But I think our defense will be a lot more opportunistic. Hopefully we're protecting the football and that we end up like we were today, plus one or plus two, and not minus one or minus two. We're still not good enough right now for us to overcome being the minus turnover margin. You know, you look at our record, we're minus four. But and the Jags won 13 games last year. That was kind of almost worse to first before they had the coaching change. They went like 13-4, but they were plus 13 in turnover margin.
You want to sound off with the Cajun Cannon? Lines are open, 504-260-1870. How you feeling out there, Hoodats? We're going to be back with more of The Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Just hanging out here on The Point After. The Saints lose 24-20 to Jacksonville in their preseason opener. Before we continue on The Point After, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, as we've been breaking down this loss by the Black and Gold, a good start for the team, and then just came up with nothing in the second half on the scoreboard. KJ Cannon looking at our talk and text line here. Someone already claiming they put their money on Wilson over Rattler, but given where Wilson was drafted second overall, it's hard to see him content with staying as a backup too long. Well, to me, I mean, he's had his shot already, so he's just trying.
He's just trying to keep a job.
Like you say, just trying to stay employed throughout the NFL. Well, he'll take whatever he can.
So what, he said that, obviously he's competing. He wants to be a starter.
But he's been humbled.
He humbled, and he's just glad to be in the National Football League. I mean, Charlie, help me out here, you and Steve. He hasn't just been with the Jets, right?
No.
Is it two teams or maybe three?
Yeah, he was
teams?
With Denver last year, so he's hanging out with Sean Payton.
Yeah, I mean, so he's not. No, I'm not the man. He's not. He's just glad that Kellen Moore gave him an opportunity in the Saints organization. So you just build upon this and you and practice. Competition should bring the best out of everyone, and. Spencer Rattler needs to take the approach. I'm going to bounce back against the Rams when we practice against them and then have a strong finish, given the opportunity to play against the L.A. Rams and Dallas.
Actually, misspoke. He was with the Dolphins last year and the Broncos in 2024.
Yeah, that's why, man, he's just trying to survive. He's not trying to beat a man. I don't care if he was drafted number two overall. That's one thing. A lot of young people are, maybe not young, are just people. They look at your draft status. You know, and I look at Tyler Shuck. Okay, he was drafted 40th overall, and it doesn't matter. Look at Wilson. You drafted second overall, first round. After you're in the league, that doesn't matter, that kind of stuff. Look where Tom Brady was drafted. Look where Joe Montana.
Drew Brees was even 32nd overall.
Drew Brees, I mean, come on. That's why people don't like. No, football players humble themselves when they've been humbled, and if they're smart enough, and they just compete. And I think he might come from money, but that doesn't matter. He wants to make a great living in the NFL. You know who wants to make a great living, and this wasn't a good showing, because we're still trying to figure out who would be the backup center. You know, knock on wood, hopefully McCoy, we don't need a backup center. Not like last 2 years, and he plays the whole time, because McCoy's one of the best centers in the NFL, and we need him to be the quarterback of the offensive line, and not necessarily having to put Cesar Ruiz from right guard to center, but Simpkins today. Did you see him miss that pass block?
Yeah, not good.
That's what you call a jailbreak. It's like one move. It's not even, you know, in your head, the clock in your head. As a quarterback, like 1,001, 1,002, throw it somewhere. It has to come out. It was like 1,000. You couldn't even get to 1,001. And it's right at the A-gap, right at the middle. So that's what Simpkins needs to avoid. And, okay, you did outstanding, undrafted free agent out of South Carolina. We're going to develop you, center guard, guard center. That was nothing to write home about. So he'll have to get better in that regard, and hopefully that's the case, because you got to have that trust factor. Because if that kind of situation happens, you will not have success.
Well, and thankfully we didn't see this in the game, but it's been, you know, the last few practices, there's been problems with snaps getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, no, the snap has to be automatic. I don't care if you're in the shotgun, under center, the snap has to be automatic. The quarterback has to never think about where the ball's coming. It has to just be, you can look at the coverage, you're thinking your pre-snap read, all that, and I hope he gets the ball to me.
Yeah, we've seen low, high, muffs.
No, it's the pros. Come on, you're not in high school. It has to be where the snap, you don't even think about that. It's like almost the ball's already in your hand, whether it's shotgun or you're under the center. And it's not like, come on, dude, you got to get me the ball. That proves to me, if you're too inconsistent with the snap, you can't play center. Work on it, your craft, but you can't play center if I'm worried about where the ball's going to be. And, Steve, we come back from the break. I haven't elaborated on him because he's one of my favorites, and he's had a slow start to training camp. He got beat on a couple of long throws, I think, early in camp. By Brown, but he's bounced back, and that being Emerson. So I'm going to talk about Emerson, dealing with the Achilles tear. He had one time started off with the Cleveland Browns. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about him, how he had a strong last week and a half so far in training camp, and a nice game today. Now, he could have had a pick six. Make that play, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about him.
You can line up your questions, comments, or anything else for the Cajun Cannon about the Black and Gold's loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the preseason opener, 24-20. On our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We're breaking, coming back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Hanging out here on The Point after the Cajun Cannon and myself looking at a Saints 24-20 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They'll be playing again in a week against the Los Angeles Rams. Can't wait to see that matchup and see who ends up playing. We'll see if Tyler Shuck ends up going against that Rams defense in the second preseason game. But Cajun Cannon, you were definitely talking about the secondary before we headed to break.
Yeah, when you look at it, the depth, and you look at all positions, who's in that rotation, I've been extremely pleased with Kool-Aid McKinstry. It looks like he's taking on that number one role. And then you look at Quincy Riley. Mickey talked about this, that being Mickey Loomis, before training camp started, that we need Kool-Aid to take that next step, and we need Quincy Riley. Kool-Aid said, I'm the man. I'm leading this DB meeting room. And then Quincy Riley going from a rookie to being count on.
A young duo on the rise.
Yeah, a young duo on the rise. And kind of like when you saw them on the rise, then you have to figure out who you're going to pay. And we had Lattimore and Paulson Adebo. But I think the ability may be even better than that. Not as much maybe prima donna syndrome. Now, you never know how to turn out with Kool-Aid and Quincy Riley. Now, last year, I think I was cheering for him, but I've kind of changed. Who I'm cheering for? Old Wiley veteran. I was an Isaac Yiadom guy.
We like Ike.
He's a 9-year guy to Boston College. You know, that's a success story. His mom and daddy, I want to say it was a grandparent. Somebody came from Ghana, Africa, real intelligent, went to Boston College. But he got picked on the beginning of his game. I wrote in my notes that they were really going after him. And it started from the get-go on that. We're winning 7-0, and I said, Isaac Yiadom kind of struggling in coverage right now. It just seems like he had a target on his back. And the player I'm going with instead, because he's overcome adversity. Now, not a 9-year veteran, but going into his 5th year, coming off the Achilles injury, he already started in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns, that Martin Emerson Jr., 5-year veteran, like I said, from Mississippi State.
Tall, physical.
Definitely like a computer you punch in. And he was born into the Houdat Nation. What are you talking about? No, he's from Pensacola, Florida. And he said, no, I've always been a Saints fan. From Pensacola, you know, that's a big part of the Houdat Nation, Gulf South, Gulf Coast. You know, you go Panama City, Pensacola. They're not Jaguar or Bucks fans and all that. They might have some, but the majority of Florida Panhandle is the Houdat Nation, like Mobile, Alabama, Southern Mississippi, all of that. So I'm cheering for him. And if you look at today, what he was able to do, now he could have that pick six, had led the team with 3 passes defended. And in camp, he had a good practice against his own teammates. Like, you know, like whatever he's done for me lately again. I got to maybe off to a slow start, got exploited at the beginning of training camp, but has gotten better. And it's really been strong getting a number of passes defended and even interception. Now, Jeff likes to say, I don't know if Jeff says much a fan like I am of Martin, you know, Emerson. But Jeff says, well, we didn't have to run. So he does good maybe in zone and stuff. So I don't know. Jeff and I might argue about that. But to me, Martin Emerson Jr. Took advantage of his opportunity today. And another one, now he has to be healthy. I think he was dealing with an injury. Rajon Wright.
Right.
3-year guy now from Oregon State. I can't think it was like, it wasn't a 60-minute program, but it was some program they had a mentor that was a coach. I want to say he's from the Bay Area, Union City, California, somewhere in the Bay Area. And his coach that was like taking care of all of his brother and on him, all grown up, he got killed, he got shot. And that he was talking about how much a mentor he meant to him. And you could probably look that up and what this was. I can remember it was dealing with Rajon Wright and how thankful he was to have that kind of mentor and that father figure in his life.
Yeah, his former college coach, John Beam, was shot and killed on November 13th, 2025 at Laney College in Oakland, California.
Yeah, and really guided him. He said it wouldn't have been in the NFL if it wouldn't have been for him. And encouraged him to keep playing and take advantage of opportunity. He went to Oregon State. So, yeah, when you look at depth behind Kool-Aid and Quincy Riley, if I had to, you only get picked 2 out of 3, I would tend to go with Martin Emerson Jr. and Rajon Wright over Isaac Yiadom right now. And then he was active, too, but he got picked on Dallas Beanham, who led the team in tackles today, but he was picked on. He had 11 total tackles and also 6 unassisted. So that's a lot of competition there. You look who's going to come out on top. But again, it's continuous. What are they going to do against those Rams receivers, you know, coming up and stuff? So it'll be interesting to see when all said and done who makes that final cut.
Keep it going here on The Point After, folks. You can chime in 504-260-1870 on our talk and text line. We'll be back with even more. Keep it locked on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After the Saints falling 24-20 to the Jaguars in their preseason opener. Checking out our talk and text line where you can sound off 504-260-1870. Someone asking you, Cajun Cannon, I like what I seen from Kristen Miller. What y'all think?
He's a load. I think they want him to continue to develop, obviously, to be healthy. I mean, he's like 6'3", 320
big
pounds.
Big old space eater.
Yeah. No, he's not in the level of Vernon Broughton. Vernon was like, played one game, then he got hurt, and so it was like a redshirt year. No, he's been making plays, not only stopping the run, but in the backfield, sacking the quarterback. Like the old Wiley veteran, who I'm a big Nathan Shepard fan. How can you not love? You talk about a success story. Got 9 years in the NFL. He's from Ontario, Canada. He played at Fort Hays State. Where's Fort Hays State? Is that Kansas or somewhere? I don't even know where. You talk about that. That's not even a directional school. Sounds like a military, like Fort Polk or something.
Public University in Hays, Kansas.
Yeah, and he's from Ontario, Canada. How did he end up there? Now, he originally was a free agent in 23 from the New York Jets. But that's the guy he's almost too good to get rid of, even though he's 32 years of age and you want the young guys to work out. So I look at Vernon Broughton more along those lines. Like, against the Jaguars on Thursday, they both each had a couple of sacks. So when you look at, like, Christian Miller, he's more like a run stuffer. He's not there yet on that level to be disruptive. I could see if he's contributing and they trust in him, he's more in the rotation to possibly get, at the max 25 snaps, 15 to 25 snaps, depending on the game plan and the type of team you're playing. Like, you better pack a lunch because they're running the ball. And then can you occupy blockers and not get blocked into the linebackers? So, yeah, there's definitely a role for him. So, Christian Miller, I'd say slow start in training camp because he's dealing with injury, but has picked it up as of late.
Another guy you got to pack a lunch about, you mentioned him today, Michael Heldman. The defensive end out of Central Michigan, undrafted rookie for the Black and Gold. He took to the podium today after his big day. Let's hear from him right now here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. That's the boys said in my room, they were like, have a celebration. And I didn't want to, like, copy anyone's or do something just normal. And, like, I literally thought of it last night. I was also, like, on TikTok before I go to bed, just, like, a couple minutes. And I saw some Marvel clips, and I'm like, that's kind of hard. So I just thought I'd pull that out. So, yeah, that's just kind of how it came. So.
Doctor Strange fan, or is it just like you saw
on TikTok? It's really just kind of watching Marvel stuff, and you know, Brian Burns did the whole Spider-Man thing, so I can't do that. And I'm just like, no one's ever hit the Doctor Strange. I'm like, that'd be kind of cool. You know, I'm a big Marvel fan, so it's just like, you know, pretty cool to hit that in game. So just had to go get the sacks first to do it. So
what about those? How'd you feel about your day out there?
Man, so like in our joint practice, it wasn't my best day, and just kind of like, in the league, you just kind of got to grow from that and learn. And just coming into the game, it was just like, I've never had this much excitement going into a game before. Like, you know, I felt a little bit more nervous in college. Like, not like nervous, but it's just like, I felt excited to get out here. And so it was just like, kept hunting. Whenever my opportunity was to get out on the field, just go hunt. And then I got there, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's cool to have those like first moments in the league. Like, in the moment, you're just in a football game. And then when you're on the sidelines, you're like, wow, I'm in the NFL. Like, it's super cool. And so, you know, I'm just very happy about it and excited about it and, you know, excited for the future games that we have. So.
And you got, like, a lot of snaps, too. Does it help get in a rhythm when you're getting that much playing time and all?
Yeah, it helps. It's nice. Growing up, it's just really taking advantage of the reps you get, not counting the reps. And we had John Gordon come in. He's a writer of a lot of great books, a good speaker too. And he talked about being a hero, which is like waiting for the moment to like for the clock to run down so you, like, the game can be done, or be a warrior and just attack every second of the game, not worrying about when it's going in. And I can feel myself doing that in college sometimes, and here I'm just like, every moment just attack it. And so whenever the reps I had, whether that was on like kickoff, you know, I was waiting for my turn to get on special teams, and I did. I was excited for that. But you know, just like playing defensive snaps, you know, it was just exciting to get out there and just attack every rep, you know, make it mean everything, because it, you know, every play counts in football.
What's
so
been led to your two sacks? Like, could you kind of review both of them and your vantage point on each play?
Yeah, so, you know, kind of attacking it, it's more of just like, you kind of, you know, if you don't have power in this game, you can't really, like, get anywhere. You know, and I'm a big guy, and, like, my philosophy is setting things up, playing chess with the guy throughout the game. Several times when I attacked him, they're really good with, like, shooting, like, throwing your hands down when you get pressure. And, like, standing them up, that's why they like to throw your hands down. And I got, like, put down on the ground several times. And I'm like, man, this is embarrassing. But, like, you know what I'm saying? I felt like I needed to adjust. And so, like, throughout the game, I go when I, instead of attacking power, it's show that I'm attacking power, then get off it quick, dip and rip, you know, rip, use my bend, get to the quarterback, really. And it worked. And one of my TFLs, too, like, he came at me, like, super aggressively. And I know if I attacked him and I tried to, and I would have, you know, stood him up, but, like, I knew he would have tried to throw me down again. So, really, I took the liberty of going inside, making the play on the running back. And, you know, that's a risk you take. There's a reward, and if you don't make the tackle, you might be called the sidelines. But you know what I'm saying? It's just really playing the game, you know, within the game, playing chess. And, you know, sometimes you got to set up things, and guys will see that, and maybe you'll start out differently at different games. So it's just really playing that chess match on the field.
Does, like, the confidence you found, or, like, that excitement you're talking about, does that help you kind of take risks throughout a game?
I would say not really. It's just more of just like I'm excited to play the game a little bit, but it's just more like even if maybe you're not having the best game, or maybe like you are having a good game, but you don't find your, like, you just find yourself in, like, you know, got to keep going. It's really just still playing that game, you know, playing chess match with the guy in front of you and just, you know, understanding what they're going to do and that, you know, down in distance where they are on the field. It's really just continuing to play the game. You know, your highs are your highs, get back to middle. Your lows, get back to middle. It's really just staying in the middle every time and just really attacking it. Like, yeah.
How did it feel taking those risks and getting that reward with the two sacks?
It felt good. It felt really good. All the guys were getting hyped on the sidelines. Like I said, I didn't have a good practice 2 days ago. So, like, just being out there, the guys were just hyped. Like, yeah, Mike. So, money, Mike. Like, it's just cool being out there and just, like I said, attacking it and just really doing what I can to help this team win. And it just shows what I can do. And it's just great. And a lot of guys, you know, attacked it too on defense. So it's just like being able to help this team win is just really the biggest thing. And I think, you know, that's the exciting part, is showing what I could do on, like, basically every phase besides offense. So
we all kind of going into the game, like when you entered in, what was your mindset kind of going in?
This is the biggest stadium I've ever been in. Like, I'm from Michigan, so, like, Ford Field is decently big. But, like, this place is booming. Like, the Houdat chant, just, like, everything. It was a surreal moment. Going to warm up, I'm like, man, I'm in the NFL. All right, time to attack it. So that's just kind of how I felt going into it.
And the only answer was what I was going to ask. But what does this opportunity, knowing that this is the biggest stadium, knowing that you're playing in the NFL and having this opportunity with the Saints, what does this opportunity mean to you?
It means a lot. I mean, I'm an undrafted rookie. I got to do everything to make this team. And just putting myself out there, putting, you know, good plays out there. And even if it's not making the tackle or getting the sack, it's just doing my job at, like, a physical 100%, everything just on the line every single day, every single game, and really just showing what I can do to make the team. And, you know, it's just, like, growing closer together, like, every day with the dudes in that locker room, too. It's just huge, you know, learning from Grando, from Chase, from Cam, like, you know, it's great to learn from a lot of those guys, too. Tyree coming in, as well as Ant, like, learning from all those guys. Chris, too. Like, it's just, like, it's an event. It's an advantage I'm taking advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's just the biggest thing, is just living it every day and just enjoying it, man. And so, like, I think it's a big opportunity, and I'm excited for the next two games and joint practices that we have, so.
That was Michael Heldman, the Saints undrafted rookie out of Central Michigan. Last year, Bobby notched 48 tackles, 16.5 for loss, 10.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, earned first-team All-MAC honors, and declared for the NFL draft, ended up going undrafted this year, and lands with the Saints trying to carve out a role for him.
Well, he's a football player. You know, when you're like, he's like, you want your edge guys to maybe be more, or be taller.
6'2",
268. But he's a football player. You know what? You can see how much football means to him.
Yeah, you felt that.
And doesn't it feel like he's talking from the heart?
Right.
Remember I told you can have these great talented players as be physical specimens, but how can you check their heart? That's one thing, even with AI, I've said this. How can you check in the future, like you know, reality TV, the NFL, that is, how can you check a player's heart? Well, just by talking to him. You could tell how much football means to him. I'm not saying, you know, Bob, what are you saying? I'm just saying you could tell the compassion and the passion that he has. Just look at his production. 6 total tackles, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hurries, 3 tackles for a loss. Well, guess what? Now, it might be, well, Bobby, that was 3s versus 3s. I don't know. He's taking advantage of the opportunity. He's doing that in practice and catching your eye where you're taking notes on him. So I'm intrigued with Hellman, Michael Hellman, the Chippewa from Central Michigan, from Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Get me the alarm. Dark horse alert.
What he's going to do against the Rams, what he's going to do against Dallas. Well, he's excited. He's looking forward to that. And you know what? He's everyone has a mentor. He's in that defensive meeting room. He's probably thinking, whoa, Chase Young, Cam Jordan. And he's like a sponge wanting to soak up what they're going to help him. And he'll ask the questions. So, no, just based on what I've seen, what he's done so far, I don't know if he'll make the active roster, considering the limited roster spots, but that's a practice squad guy for sure that you hope would develop if he doesn't make the right. But if he continues to produce, all of a sudden he's one of those surprise maybe like Simpkins, who ends up, even though you're undrafted, to make the final cut.
Taking a break here on The Point After. When we get back, we'll find out what's bugging Bobby. Keep it locked on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, Black and Gold falling 24-20 to the Jaguars in their preseason opener. Time to get into what's bugging Bobby about today's game, brought to you by J&J Exterminating, the largest independent exterminating company in Louisiana. Cajun Cannon, out of all the things that happened wrong for this team, what was bugging you the most in today's matchup?
Well, like I was talking in the pregame, you know what wasn't bugging me for sure is the fast start in the first quarter. How
very welcome.
Yes. All of a sudden, we're winning 7-0, considering we only scored one touchdown in all of last season in that first quarter, getting outscored 4-1. I don't know, we're running back a kickoff, 86 yards, estimate, broke 3 tackles, 9-yard touchdown. We're winning 7-0, so we're not chasing points. But what we have to get better at and control the ebb and flow of the game, you know this, third down offense. Third down defense, outstanding last year, outstanding first preseason game, but kind of the same song and dance, and I know that bothers Kellen. Now, we're not game planning right now in the preseason, but even when we were game planning, in the regular season, we only converted 39.5%. Well, today on third down, we were 31%. I want to see, even though the quality team is going against the Rams and Dallas, that will get better. Hopefully, it'll get better because that will be a challenge, especially on the road. We've been good road warriors, but what are we doing on third down offense when we're going to go against the Lions and the Ravens? Don't traditionally look at the Ravens, not Ray Lewis and all, and that 2000 Ravens defense, but you always kind of view them, and Dan Campbell, a tough team. So you look at kind of the Lions defense. So that's going to be a challenge. We've been practicing this red zone offense, and to not only good foul red zone defense, because our offense has struggled against that, but can we score touchdowns when we get in the red zone, and can we convert on third down to have those sustained drives? And when all said and done, B plus one, whatever, winning the turnover margin and winning the time of possession, so we controlling the ebb and flow of a game. But what you have to consistently do is convert on third down.
Ooh,
offensively, which we have not done last year or even this first preseason game.
That's what's bugging Bobby about today's game, brought to you by J&J Exterminating, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. You can sound off on our talk and text line with the Cajun Cannon. Mike, you are up next. We'll be getting to you right after the break here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Black and Gold lose their opener 24-20 to Jacksonville. They'll be back at it a week from today, taking on the Rams. We're going to go to our talk and text line where you can sound off, 504-260-1870. On the line, we're going out to the ATL with Mike. Mike, what you got for us today?
Well, I'm going to tell y'all something. That game was terrible last night. But let me tell you something. Did y'all see Sean Payton troll the Falcons last night at halftime?
Yes, I did.
Well, but you know, Sean Payton, even though he's in Denver,
he still loves to poke the dirty birds.
Without a doubt. He loves to get them riled up. I don't know how riled he can get them.
But did you hear what he said last night, Bobby? Did you hear what he said?
Yeah. Is Steve talking about some in the stands?
Fans were dressed up like seats.
Fans were dressed up like seats.
His exact word was, a lot of the people dressed up as empty seats tonight.
Yeah.
And when he said that, man, the reporters and everybody started busting out. They walked away. I'm like, oh, look at Sean Payton trolling these Falcons. But let me tell you something, man. The Atlanta Falcons, they got all the skilled players in the world to do anything they want
indeed.
To do. But you know what's going to hold them back? Them quarterbacks going to hold them back, man.
Agreed.
They looked terrible that night.
The quarterbacks, when you don't have one, you know, they have two, but they don't even have one. When you look at Tua and Penix, no, they're not the answer. But good for the Saints. I hope they think that they're the guy because I think that'll benefit the Saints who play Atlanta. You know what else? You got to have a good luck. You know what's having, and they invested in them.
Their pass rushers.
The defense, the pass rushers.
They looked bad last night.
Yeah.
They had no pass rushing, man.
The ones out for the year from Georgia, Walker, and then from Tennessee, suspended with the first eight games. Atlanta, like you said, they have a lot of skilled people, no quarterback, and then they were always concerned with the pass rush. Now no pass rush. I mean, why not the Saints right now? I think right now you look at the NFC South. How everyone's disgruntled in Tampa Bay, and we beat Carolina twice last year. I'm not afraid of Bryce.
Your two biggest pieces with Vita Vea and Baker Mayfield.
Right. So the instability
and then
there.
Carolina, we got Little Bryce's number. I'm not worried about him.
Yeah. So, we got to take care of business. But listen, we should have high expectations as Saints fans this season.
Definitely appreciate the call, Mike. Thanks so much for shouting us here on The Point After. You can sign in as well, 504-260-1870. We're taking a break right now. We'll be back with even more of The Point After. Keep it locked on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? Back here on The Point after the black and gold fall to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 24-20, preseason game number one for the Saints. One of the standouts, though, for the black and gold in the secondary, Jalen Ford, he has a pick today along with two pass defensive.
Well, you said Jalen Ford. That's
Jalen Price. Yes, Jalen Price.
Yeah,
Jalen Ford also had a pick.
That's
a linebacker, though.
Yeah. Look at when you look at Price and just a successful story, Jalen Price. And he's doing it in practice and he did it in the game. That's what you want to see. Interception, couple of passes defended, tackle on special teams. And again, like I said earlier in the show, if he's not on the Saints roster, somebody will pick him up. He's just too good today how the game is played. Now he would get picked on. Like Sanker is going to get picked on considering he's playing that star position and you're guarding a slot. Not too many people could cover on a high level on the slot. Because I can tell you right now, you could be an outstanding cornerback, but you got to play outside. Not all cornerbacks could play on the inside. Okay, now the reason why I say this, if you're an outstanding cornerback, and let's say you're on the outside, you always can use the boundary to your benefit. You know, whether you're going to get beat vertical or to the inside, you always have the sideline. When you're in that slot, whether you in or out or vertical, there's three options than two when you're outside corner. That's why it's so challenging.
Let's hear from Jaden Price after today's game. He took to the podium.
Jaden, how you feel coming out of that one?
Feeling great. I was just happy with everything, happy with how I played. Limited opportunities in camp, so just tried to go out there and make the most of them. And felt like I did that today. Always, you know, you're going to go back and watch the film tomorrow, and there's going to be some things you want to clean up. But so far, so good. I'm happy. And just know I got to continue to get better.
Can you walk us through what you saw on the interception, how it all came together for you?
Yeah. We've been hunting. We knew they were going to be throwing those deep daggers, and we've been hunting that since joint practice. knew that I could manipulate him with some of my, you know, alignment. And, you know, I just saw him staring it down and went and jumped it and ended up making a good play.
The third down pass breakup even before that, was that just as satisfying because of the situation too?
Yeah. Anytime you get the opportunity and capitalize on making a play, it's a good feeling. You know, just situation, circumstance, you know, it was third down. And just executing the call and just playing at a high level, playing fast and making a play, and it was satisfying for sure.
Obviously, you only have so many opportunities when you're, you know, trying to get yourself noticed. But they've been giving you so many opportunities. Has that allowed you to get into a comfort zone, knowing that they've shown more and more trust in you?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the more trust, you know, I feel like the more confidence it brings out of me. You know, just the more opportunities they give me, the more chances I have to, you know, make plays on the ball and stuff like that, and just going out there and trying to maximize those opportunities, take advantage of them, and just do it the best of my ability.
Jay, maybe this is like nothing, but like for a guy who's been like trying to make an NFL roster, trying to make their way here to be called out of the tunnel as a starter today, I think get that opportunity. Like, what does that mean to you? And then just kind of then put it together for a nice game.
It meant a lot. It's been a long journey. You know, went undrafted, went to Atlanta, then went to the CFL, went to the UFL, then back here last year. Last year was a long year, and it's been a long journey. This past off season was great for me, and it meant a lot for me. You know, just continue to push the envelope and continue to get better each and every day. And like I said, continue to take advantage of opportunities and just know that. You know, when you do good things will happen.
You just heard a little bit of Saints corner Jaden Price there after the black and gold fall in preseason action to the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to take a break, get back. We're going to chime in and hear from Mason. You've been hanging on the line. We want to hear from you. We'll be back with even more of The Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After. Let us pause 10 seconds right now, though. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cajun Cannon, we're getting ready to push on out of here on The Point After. Before we do, want to hear from Mason, who's been on the line. Mason, what you got for us tonight? Welcome to The Point After.
Oh, I just wanted to say that Troy had a really good game today, I feel like. He was, like, all over the field, and he was catching good passes.
That were
made.
Yeah, Trey Palmer, if you look at it, you know, he has to take advantage of opportunity. He had four catches, 33 yards, but he's competing with Bub Means. Now, Bub Means doubled that. Trey Palmer looks going to be hard-pressed to make the team. I'm just telling you right now.
Could be a practice squad guy.
Yes. Some LSU fans might, you know, whatever, because he went to Nebraska. But Trey Palmer, he's made in the NFL. But you look at competition, Barry and Brown, Bub Means, Ronnie Bell. That's all the back end, Kevin Austin Jr. So I don't know. Trey has to continue to contribute like he did in today's game. And see what's going to happen against the Rams in Dallas. But right now, I'd have to say I'd be surprised if he will make the team. But I don't make those calls. You know, he had two kick returns. He had a long gain of 21. Ty Chandler had, you know, that 86-yard kick return. Again, Trey Palmer, they give him opportunities, kick return game, punt return game, not only as a receiver. He had one punt return for 1 yard, and he had a fair catch. Remember I told you, don't fair catch, take a chance and maybe do something. You got to live on the edge. If you're trying to make a team, you got to stand out. And that's one area, if you have the ability to be a returner and take that chance and make that explosive play.
Mason, appreciate the call. Thanks for chiming in here on The Point After today. Black and gold end up going down in their preseason opener. They'll be back at it 1 week from today. You can sound off more with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Mike Dettelier on Monday when they'll be second-guessing. Right now, that's a wrap on The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cajun Cannon, say good night to the Who Dat Nation.
All right, bon nuit les gens. Good night, people. Who Dat, go Saints.